Last now, today, Krishna is praising the student. He says, well, how about us? You know, we are sitting here studying. Do I we get praised or not? Krishna said, don't worry. You know, you are here too. Yeah. No, he's in the, we are all in his thoughts. All of us who are studying, is Krishna is praising them. That in the 70 and 71. So 70 will do today, and then 71 will do next week. अध्येष्यते च य इमं धर्म्यं संवादमावयोः ज्ञानयज्ञेन तेनाहम् इष्टस्यामिति मे मतिः So me mati hi. So Krishna says it is my opinion. What? Adhyeshyate. So one who studies. So one who studies this knowledge, and again this very important, should be studied with devotion, with sincerity. And it should be studied with the attitude of being a seeker. I am a seeker of knowledge. So that's why we said studies with devotion, and becoming a seeker means sincere student should be studied sincerely. Adhyaya means to study, not only to read. It's not okay, we heard it, 18 chapter, khatam ho gaya, finished. No, go home and read it. That is the idea. Study it, know it, read it again and again, listen to this knowledge. And not only the Gita, but we have so many other acharyas who come, you know, Swami Ishwarananda, Vimal Chaitanya, Swami Bodhatmananda ji. So listen to these acharyas. There, of course, knowledge is much more, you know, because they have been teaching so many years. So listening to them, you will get so much out of that. So listen to them and listen with devotion. Study it. Ya imam dharmyam samvadam. So this imam, this dharmya samvada, this conversation, this dharmic or religious or spiritual conversation, avayoho. Avayoho means of the two of us. So whoever studies this, see this description of this dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. So whoever studies it with devotion, what will happen? He will or she will jnana yajna, by the jnana yajna, by offering the knowledge, then by that person, aham ishtam, I will be worshipped. So studying this knowledge is also worshipping Krishna. Studying this knowledge, it is also worshipping the Lord. Iti me matihi. So as we said, it should be done with devotion, that it is the Lord himself speaking, and it should be with the idea that I am a spiritual seeker. And I always tell this Gita, the way to study it, of course, whatever we are doing in this class, you should go home and read it again. Or read before you come. Like I know Barbara does. She always reads the verses before she comes. That's why she asks all the tough questions that I have a hard time answering. But so the idea is that you should read it. But also what we encourage, that there are 700 verses in Bhagavad Gita. So just make it a point that two verses every evening, every night I will read before I go to bed. You know, in the evening after dinner. Two verses. With the commentary, it will take you minimum maximum 15-20 minutes, and maybe read it a second time if you have not understood. And then what will happen is the thoughts will stay in your mind through the night, and the next day also you will be thinking about them. So if you do two verses, one every day, we're not asking to do the half chapter or whole chapter, two verses, in 1 year you would have read the entire Bhagavad Gita, because it's 700 verses, so 350 days. So two verses a day is enough, because it gives you a good dose of this knowledge. Some of the verses are easy, some of them are difficult. And if some of them are not very clear to you, I'll be happy to, whatever little I know, to share. You can come after class, or you know, after, during lunch, you can sit down and, you know, say this particular verse was not clear. So I'll try my best. But the commentary, Swamiji's commentary, is so very good that you can definitely understand. So read two verses every night, and read it with sincerity, and then the entire Bhagavad Gita will become very clear. And slowly you will realize how useful it is. That's why this Bhagavad Gita, they call it as a manual of living, how I should live my life. Just as when we buy a new car, you know, they give you owner's manual or a computer or, you know, all these complicated, you know, devices. Unless you read the manual, at least I have a very hard time. Even after reading manual, I'm not very tech savvy. But a lot of the kids nowadays, they don't read. They just put, they just turn it on. But for most of us, it is good. You read the manual, then you can operate that device better. So similarly, Bhagavad Gita is a manual of life because we are living, but we are living without proper instructions. And we are just drifting along. Theek hai chal raha, everybody is doing it like a lemming. You know, everybody is going, let me also go in that direction. But how to swim against the tide? Everybody is going here, but that doesn't mean they are right. Just because everybody is going towards OET, acquiring, possessing, wanting, collecting, that's not necessarily the right path. You know, everybody is living the path of ego. Why, I should also, no, I should live my life in the right way. And so Bhagavad Gita is the manual that teaches us how to live our life in the right way. So that is why study of it is very, very important. Now, there are four ways to practice spirituality. One is rituals. One is offering, you know, like either you invite a priest to do the ritual or you can do it yourself. You know, you have a little idol of Krishna or Ganpati and you offer flower and you chant the mantras and, you know, avahayami, pujayami, you know, all those thapayami, I invite the Lord to come in this idol. So if you know that, that is one way. Another way, which is very much overlooked, is called chanting. And Guru Swami Tejomayananda Ji, Guruji, who was the worldwide head for 23 years, he just recently appointed another successor. And somebody used to ask him, you know, can you tell me the best way to reach God? You know, should we read Gita? Should we read Upanishads? Should we read Brahma Sutras? He says, you know, simple way, just chant Ram. That's all. That cannot take me to that. Come on, no. Give us something complicated. Give us a mantra, you know. Give us a complicated. Just say Ram, 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 Ram. Or whatever, Krishna or Shiva. He says, it cannot be that simple. You know, and people used to tell him, he says, it is. All you have to do is just remember the Lord. Just remember with faith, with devotion. Just chant the Lord's name. Every opportunity you get, Om Namah Shivaya, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Krishna, Sharnam Mama. Any mantra, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Just remember the Lord with love and devotion, and that will take you there. People don't think so. It can't be that simple. And they will study. They say, I have read all the 10 major Upanishads. I have read Brahmas. I mean, it's good if you have read. I'm not criticizing. I personally have not read that much. Honestly, I have not read the Upanishads. I have not read Brahma Sutras. A few Upanishads I have studied just from the Acharyas. But the point is that whatever you read, you should read with comprehension. Understand it. Not read them like a novel. I was recently talking to a person in India and he has said, oh, I have read all the Upanishads. I said, you cannot read the Upanishad like a novel. You have read 10, 15 Upanishads? That means you haven't studied them. I said, each Upanishad, read one mantra a day. There are 30 mantras, take 1 month. You cannot read the whole Upanishad in 2 days. The knowledge is so complex. So pay attention when you study it and take your time. So same way, chant the name of the Lord. Or you can whisper the name of the Lord. Or the other thing is Jnana Yajna, which is Krishna is talking about. This is a very unique word. Jnana Yajna is not there in any Upanishads, is not there in any scriptures. It is a word Krishna created on his own. And what do we mean by Jnana Yajna? Yajna, we all know. Yajna is that offering where we have that Havan Kund, we have that fire with that, you know, surrounding bricks and all that. And in the you put some steaks and you put some ghee, some offerings and some. And then the priest lights the fire and then, you know, keeps offering, chanting, Om Swaha, Swaha. You keep chanting and we do that for all, you know, special occasions. Like if you have bought a new house, you may do a yajna, or, you know, if your son is going to college, then they will do that. or like here every year we do that for our anniversary, we do Sudarshan Homa. So Yajna is offering in the fire. So when Krishna says Jnana Yajna, what does he mean? Jnana is knowledge and Yajna means offering. So in the fire of knowledge, when the knowledge is kindled in you, that's why knowledge is considered as a fire. Jnana is considered fire. When that knowledge is kindled in you, what do you offer? Just as in the fire we offer ghee and wood and all our, you know, other things like nuts and offerings. So here you offer your ignorance. You offer your negative tendencies, your vasanas, your selfishness, your anger, greed, jealousy. All that has to be offered in this fire of ignorance. That's why Swami Chinmayananda, his talks were called Gita Jnana Yajna in 1952. Everywhere the posters would say Gita Jnana Yajna by Swami Chinmayananda. So the idea was that by teaching the Gita and by studying the Gita, you are offering your ignorance, your negativities, your anger, greed, jealousy in this fire of knowledge. Because this knowledge has to, because once you know this is what is the right thing to do, then slowly it will change inside you. There will be a change. And if there is no change, then you are not benefiting from it. So anybody who listens to this definitely will change. And what will happen to that person? It will remove their negativity and unmask their potential. Because we all are intrinsically divine. We are all God. We are all God, God's presence on earth. We're not God in the sense, not Ram or Krishna, but we are divine creatures because God is in every one of us. And that is our true nature. It's not that I am God or you are God, but we are divine. We are all divine creatures. We are all God's children. And if we are God's children, then God is in us. So that divinity has been masked, has been covered. So all Gita does, all this knowledge does is unmask this divinity so that it appears. So the knowledge is not going to feed you some good things. It will remove the evil. That is the idea of studying the Gita, is to, we already have all the goodness that we need, that is Om, that is in us, but it is covered by our ignorance, by our vasanas, our negative tendencies. So Gurudev says your pure vasanas will be unmasked. Your pure qualities, goodness, love, will manifest, and your negative qualities will be driven out. And it unveils. See, Krishna is in every one of us. Krishna says, I am in your heart, but I am covered. All you have to do is unveil. You know, remove that veil and you can see Krishna very clearly in your heart. So that is the purpose of studying. Purpose of studying is not to get some new information, but to remove my wrong ideas, wrong tendencies, wrong beliefs. And for that, commitment is required. I have to commit that I am going to study this knowledge, study it sincerely, and bring a change about in my life. I have to become like Krishna. I have to become like Ram. I have to become like Jesus. I don't just study and say, oh yeah, there was God, you know, he came in the form of Ram and Krishna and Jesus, and we listen to the stories and we pray. No, the idea is not to clap. Idea is to become like them. If you, the qualities that Ramchandra ji had, his love for his parents, his dedication, his love for his brothers, his love for his wife, his love for his subjects, how the ideal Purush, that's why they say the ideal Purush, if you want to see, is Bhagwan Ram. So those qualities, and same way Sita ji's devotion to her husband and how she, all those, so those are the qualities, how they took care of their children and the children's duty to the parents. So all that. So commitment has to be required, and sharing this knowledge is like lighting a lamp. Like there is a lamp and now I take another lamp and light from it. Does the lamp become any less? No, it remains the same. And in fact, if I light 12 lamps, that room is now brilliantly lit. So sharing this knowledge does not reduce it. It actually magnifies it, because now so many other people have studied this knowledge. So that is why Krishna says one who studies and one who teaches are both deserving of praise. And next week we'll continue praising the student. There's one more verse in praise of the student. And then what happened to Arjuna after he studied this knowledge? Because as we said, this is the end of the Gita. So we are summarizing. So what happened to Arjuna after he studied, after he had listened? Was there any change? That we'll cover next week. So that is the study. Any other question about the student?
No, one thing for me is the direction going from cheerful chanting to whisper to Jnana Yoga, is that the one leading to spirituality?
No, that is from gross to subtle. See, ritual is more gross, you know, offering flowers. Then chanting is only done by speech, loud. And then whisper is you're only whispering inside, so it's more subtle. And Jnana Yagna is thinking by the mind. So it is from gross to subtle.
Right. Where does the spirituality begin?
All of them. All of them lead us to spirituality. All of them. It's the attitude is very important. But knowledge is the most important. That's why Jnana Yagna is praised in the Bhagavad Gita. Nahi Jnanena Sadrisham Pavitram Iha Vidyate. Krishna says there is no greater purifier than knowledge in this world. So knowledge is glorified. And another place he says, Jnanagni Sarva Karmani Bhasmasat Kurute Arjuna. All your karmas, negative and positive, are burnt in the fire of knowledge. So the knowledge is the highest. The path of knowledge is praised. Yes.
Yeah,